I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Anne Fonfa, founder and president of the Annie Appleseed Project, is my guest today. Anne was diagnosed with breast cancer in January 1993 and explored alternative therapies and also started a study group in New York City. From summaries of the 60 or so meetings this group held, Anne posted a website in June 1999 under the name The Annie Appleseed Project. It is now a 501c3 nonprofit corporation serving 90,000 people monthly via the Internet. Anne has attended several hundred scientific, medical, research, and advocacy meetings since 1995. She and other volunteers gather information and talks that Anne gives around the country that are disseminated via the website. Anne's been featured in magazines, interviewed on the radio and television, and is the author of one published paper, Patient Perspectives, Barriers to Complementary and Alternative Medicine Therapies Create Problems for Patients and Survivors, as well as numerous articles. She presents at many meetings around the United States and abroad, including Canada, India in 2008, and Brazil 2007, Japan in 2010, Greece in 2011, Spain and Portugal 2011. She speaks out, speaks up, and speaks about the issues people with any type of cancer really care about. As an independent advocate, with 63% of Annie Appleseed Project funds coming directly from donations of $100 or less, Anne has the ability to say things most people can or will not say. She raises questions about the environment, drug approvals, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues, research methodologies, and much more. She served on many panels and is Florida's field coordinator for National Breast Cancer, a member of the Society for Integrative Oncology, was on Susan G. Coleman for the Cure LGBT National Advisory Council, and so forth, and is a 2004 graduate of Food as Medicine and Cancer Guides. She is the consumer advocate on the Adverse Effects Methods Group, the Cochrane Collaborations, and a member of Consumers United for Evidence-Based Healthcare, reviewing monthly. Anne serves with a panel examining comparative effective research for complementary integrative medicine and was invited to the Patient Advocacy Forum in October 2010 to discuss clinical trial issues. Anne recently reviewed for Patient-Centered Outcome Research Institute and speaks to various cancer groups including ovarian, prostate, mesothelioma, lung, breast, and others. She finds valuable natural strategies for everyone at every stage of disease. The Annie Appleseed Project will host an 8th annual evidence-based complementary and alternative cancer educational conference in March 2014 in West Palm Beach, Florida. The group also co-sponsors one-day educational seminars around the country. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Anne, and I look forward to hearing about your cancer experience and how that led to your helping many, many people now.
First, thank you for having me.
Thank you, Anne. I'm really happy to have you with me. First, you were diagnosed with breast cancer in 1993, and did you have any symptoms, and what did you decide to do for treatment?
Well, I originally found something that resembled a callus on my left breast, and I was confused because I knew about lumps. I was doing self-exam, but I went to a mammography location and had them do a mammogram, and nothing really showed up, but because I had this area of interest, they sent me to a breast surgeon, and I didn't know anybody with breast cancer, and I didn't know much about it. It was right before cancer began to be talked about, and certainly right before breast cancer was being talked about publicly. And I sort of went down a line of immediately having surgery. In fact, the surgery was scheduled 4 days after the visit with the surgeon, and that was kind of a shock for me because what I understood from that was that I had serious cancer.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, I had flow growing and, you know, local stage one, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. But I had a lumpectomy, and they removed lymph nodes without really having any discussion with me about it. Mm-hmm. And I was ill-informed and uninformed.
Oh. Hmm. And you had a recurrence, and in retrospect, do you think that that could have been avoided?
Well, you know, it turned out that I didn't have a biopsy in the first round of the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, there's a biopsy and then the surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So because I didn't have a biopsy, they weren't really clear what type of cancer, breast cancer I had. And there's a type that about 10% of the people have, and that's the one I had. It probably would have responded really well to a mastectomy, but instead I'd had a lumpectomy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do radiation, and that led to the chance of local recurrence. And it recurred less than 2 years down the line. And I interpreted that to be, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
So I had another surgery. And then eventually, when I finally found a resolution to 5 years of recurrences, I used Chinese herbs. And that made me think that maybe I could have, in fact, either had a mastectomy up front or used Chinese herbs up front. And maybe it would have been resolved sooner.
Mm-hmm. And did you have phantom pains, which is common?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
After the mastectomy, I had a lot of phantom pain. And it's interesting because I had seen a PBS show years before where they were talking about how people who lost a hand or an arm or a
mm-hmm.
leg stood in front of a mirror and massaged the air
mm-hmm.
where
mm-hmm.
their hand or arm or leg might have been and got resolution. So I actually tried that, and I felt that it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's something about fooling your brain into not being tortured by the pain. But, yeah, there were things like lightning, you know, feeling of a streak of electricity. There were a lot of strange and odd feelings throughout for a long time. But, like I said, I resolve them often by rubbing the air in front of where my breast would have been.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend that to people.
Mm-hmm.
It really did work for me.
Mm-hmm. And you also had lymphedema?
Yeah, that developed right away. You know, it's interesting because if the doctor had told me, the surgeon had told me, the original surgeon had said, we take lymph nodes,
mm-hmm.
I might have said, you know, I had an injury there. Do you think it will matter?
Mm-hmm.
He might have said it wouldn't matter. I might have said, well, I'm a little worried about that. And besides, what's the point of taking lymph nodes? And by the way, to this day, I think it's really not a great idea to destroy the lymph system,
right.
To tell you what stage cancer you have. And I think that eventually that will be found out.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually movement toward that now. They're finding that what they call micrometastases in the lymph nodes don't really affect survival, which is key
mm-hmm.
and the only thing that matters to someone like me. But in any case, I developed lymphedema immediately in my chest
mm-hmm.
and my back. And
mm-hmm.
the surgeon said, oh, you know, that's normal. And then it went from my chest and back into my arm and then into my left hand and was there for a couple of years. I had osteopathy massage,
mm-hmm.
manipulation, and it went out of my left hand, but it's still in my left forearm, my chest, and my back. It's now 20 years later. It's a frustration to people like me who are physically active
right.
and exercise, and because I have limited strength and mobility on the left side, and it's especially a drag when I fly, which I do quite often
mm-hmm.
for my work. I have to wear a sleeve, a glove, and a vest to provide the pressure to maintain the fluid so that it doesn't get worse.
Oh, that's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that.
But I don't have any pain anymore. I did have pain for the first couple of years,
mm-hmm.
and that stopped. So that's the good news.
Mm-hmm. My favorite actress, Ingrid Bergman, had surgery and breast removed and had lymphedema, and she was rehearsing play Gold in My Ear. Remember when she did the TV program on Golda? And
mm-hmm.
she said that she was having trouble raising her arm. And she stayed up all night exercising and practicing raising the arm because she wanted to get the mannerisms just right so that she could raise her arm. And she talked about the pain and all that was involved. But she did it, and it wasn't obvious when I saw the movie that, you know, she was in pain and all.
Well, interesting. I hadn't heard that story before.
Well, I've read everything that there is on Ingrid Bergman because she was my favorite. So, you know, I probably know little things about her that most people don't.
A lot of people have lymphedema of the leg, mm-hmm. the legs, if they have colon cancer or prostate cancer or some cervical or ovarian or any other that's in that lower area. Mm-hmm. And that can be very problematic because it makes it difficult to walk. And I think that's really problematic. There are also people who have head and neck surgery or cancer, and they have lymphedema of the neck, which is awful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the solutions wouldn't be useful because when you have a leg or an arm, it's wrapped with, mm-hmm. It's almost like athletic tape, but not quite the same. And you can't do that really around your throat. Mm-hmm. So lymphedema can be very, very problematic. Mm-hmm. And I remain concerned about it in the way that it's so casually, lymph nodes are so casually removed. Right. I'm not convinced, and I would like to really see some studies about it because, as you know, a lot of things we take for granted medically have not been studied or researched appropriately, and I think that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. And so is that something that your foundation can push?
Well, you know, we advocate for lots of ideas, but we don't directly do any research. We don't have the mm-hmm. funding for that or the, you know, people power. We're an all-volunteer mm-hmm. organization. But we mention it at meetings. We raise the question at mm-hmm. Meetings, and we circulate whatever studies do come out that seem to indicate, you know, that we're on the right track. In the U.S., we rarely fund studies that will find out that less treatment is needed. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, part of the issue as I see it. And that's why I was really excited to see Monica Morrow and her team do research on lymph nodes and find out that, in fact, the micrometastases really don't affect survival. That's mm-hmm. just such an important fact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hoping it'll lead to more more research.
Then, Anne, you started the study group in New York exploring alternative treatments for cancer after your experience, and eventually you placed summaries of the meetings on a website, and this led to your Annie Appleseed Project, which is now a 501c3 corporation that serves 85,000 people a month on the internet. Fantastic, and congratulations. Can you tell us about the Annie Appleseed Project?
Well, when I started my own search, I had decided not to do chemotherapy because I had multiple chemical sensitivity, and the oncologist I saw was just not interested at all. And that was very troubling to me. I felt that I needed to do something more personal. So I began to explore what at that time in 1993 was called alternative medicine. We didn't have complementary mm-hmm. or integrative or anything else. And so it was important to me to locate stuff that might be right for me.
Mm-hmm.
As I began to do that, I found so much information. I was amazed, and I wanted to share it. So I started the study group, and from the study group, I had all this information. I was asked to speak to the social workers of cancer care and tell them what alternative medicine was like from what they call the consumer's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to do that, and I realized I had a lot of information. So I worked for a company at the time, and when I had the time to work outside of this volunteer effort, it was before mm-hmm. it all really began. And we did business presentations, so they created printed material for me, and I handed it out at events and meetings that I went to, cancer meetings. And it was a list of ideas that I thought would be useful for people with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from that to, thank goodness, creating the website, because it was just too difficult to carry around so much material. And so the website went up in 1999. I used the name Annie Appleseed Project, but we actually did not become a nonprofit until mm-hmm. 2003, when mm-hmm. I moved to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
My husband retired, and at that time, I just began to do it completely full-time with no other distractions. And the organization grew because people don't have a good way to get information about natural therapies and mm-hmm. natural strategies. And we wanted to be a reliable resource for as much information as we possibly could put together.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very extensive website. There's more than 8,000 pages on it. Nowadays, with social media, I actually use Facebook every day. We mm-hmm. tweet every day. And I don't have to do that. We actually have an organization that mm-hmm. tweets our mm-hmm. own pages from our website on a daily basis, 8 or 9 times a day. And I post onto Facebook articles that I find from all of the journals and magazines and newsletters that I read daily.
Mm-hmm.
And And also people all over the world send me information about services and practitioners and protocols and, you know, things that have worked for them. Mm-hmm. So we're able to share very interesting information. When a person who has been through treatment shares their experiences, lots of doctors can dismissively call it anecdotal. But you and I and your audience right. knows we call it patient-centered evidence right. because that is real, real personal experience. You know, it's one thing if I said, oh, my next-door neighbor's cousin's sister told me this story. That's a story. That's an right. anecdote. But when I say this is what I did or you say this is what you did, that's patient-centered evidence. That's the real thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a really, really important aspect of what we offer.
Right. Do you know that when I finished with my cancer experience, my doctor said he guessed he'd made the wrong diagnosis, but I hadn't told him that I was doing anything, so he thought we were in a wait-and-see mode. I never told him I was doing all of the alternative things because I knew he wouldn't understand and would get upset. But I had at that time, my physician friend, who was head of Blue Cross Blue Shield in North Carolina, asked to see the x-rays, the biopsy, all of the reports, and I took them all to North Carolina, and he suggests it definitely was lung cancer. So there were actually three physicians that had said it was lung cancer, but my physician's way out was to say he'd made the wrong diagnosis. So they just do not want to accept that there are things other than the triage of surgery, radiation, and chemo. So I'm glad that there are people like you that are putting up even the case studies, which I think are very important.
Yes, and they're based on real experience, and that's the authenticity shines through. There's no question. That's why Antiopathy Project, when we hold our educational conferences mm-hmm. and invite people like you to mm-hmm. speak, we want people who can tell their own stories. They're on the patient panel. That's a very popular part of our conference because all of us recognize how important it is to know what worked for people. Even though we're all a little bit different and right. little bits right. of different things will work, it's still important to know that there are things that work. I mean, one of the first things that happened for me, you know, I said I was diagnosed in 93. I was mm-hmm. 44 years old. I didn't know anybody with cancer mm-hmm. who was alive. You know, my grandfather had died of cancer, mm-hmm. and that was about
right,
it.
Right.
And so I thought, you know, cancer is death, and mm-hmm. I was prepared to die. And I was busy telling my family, don't worry, but meanwhile saying, oh, this is the end. And especially since the diagnosis took place 4 days before the surgery, you know, mm-hmm. I really thought it was over. On Sunday, the day before the surgery, actually the night before, I got a phone call from a woman, and she said to me, I am a 10-year survivor, mm. and my entire mindset changed because as soon as I knew someone survived, mm-hmm. I knew I could survive too. And I think those kinds of stories are critical for people. We need to know that there are survivors. You know, people call me now. I get calls from all over the world, but mm-hmm. you know, lots of people call and say, "Oh, my mother's dying of cancer," you know, or "I'm dying of cancer." And I have to say mm-hmm. to people, "Wait a minute, you're living with cancer, mm-hmm. or they're living with cancer, because you're not dead until you're dead." And as I always joke around, plenty of time to be dead. You know, mm-hmm. now is your time to be alive, because you know, no one's guaranteed tomorrow. We all have today,
no.
and mm-hmm. that's what you have to focus on. And we, you know, I try to encourage people. I'm very upbeat and optimistic, and I try to encourage people to focus on today. Everybody for mm-hmm. themselves, and you know, and to make the best of the day in every way. I mean, I'm up on Long Island. I normally live in Florida, so I'm enjoying early spring, which we don't have in South Florida, mm-hmm. and watching all the buds and the light spring colors. It's quite wonderful, and it's an enjoyment I can have for the next few months in my mind because you know, I hold the joy, and I think it's important.
Right.
But again, knowing that there's survivorship is what made the difference for me, and it really mm-hmm. did. It changed the effect of my circumstances, and I'm sure it does it for other people, too.
Right. I'm sure it does for a lot of people. I get the same, and I get letters where people say, the doctor gave me 3 months to live, or the doctor gave me 6 months to live, and I respond, 6 months to live is not a medical diagnosis. It's a God
right,
diagnosis.
Exactly.
And only God knows when we're going to die. And I was given that diagnosis 38 years ago, and I'm still here. So get
yeah,
that out of your mind.
Very reassuring for people.
And Bernie Siegel would love this because he talks so much about how the mind influences the body. So you're right that I think that this offers a lot to those people that have one mindset, and they see that people survived, and then they can think in a different way that is going to facilitate their healing.
Well, you know, and also, I mean, I give people information on complementary therapies as well as total alternatives, things that can be used in conjunction with conventional treatment, because most people who have cancer are going to do some form of conventional treatment.
Right.
And so today I got an email from a woman. I had asked her, because I'd spoken for a group that she runs, it's actually a sister's network affiliate, and in Florida. And I said to her, could you send me a letter talking about the benefit of the talk I gave? Well, actually, she wrote such a cool letter, and she wrote me that she was being treated right now for recurrence. And I asked her what complementary things she was doing, and she wrote me she's doing so many things that she no longer has to worry about blood transfusions. She doesn't have to worry about pain. She's not nauseous. And she's doing a whole range of complementary therapies that are integrated into her conventional treatment without harm and all benefit. And that's just great. It's something I know to be true, and now she knows to be true, and she runs a group. She's able to bring that message to her group the same way that I did. She also told me that when people heard me speak about the benefits of eating healthy, and by that I mean eating more fruits and vegetables, organic, whenever possible, she said she heard the members of her group talking about how they could incorporate it into their own lives. And it's thrilling. You know, it's wonderful to know that people can get the message, and I believe that fully. And doctors, unfortunately, because they get so much of their information from the pharmaceutical reps, they'll often start out a conversation by saying, well, you know, diet and exercise, they don't really help, you know, which is crap. Of course diet and exercise make a difference. And, you know, that's what we should be doing. And I don't mean exercise of the level of a champion athlete. I'm married to a champion athlete. My husband is a Florida State racquetball champion, has been for a couple of years, but, and he's 70, you know, for his age group. But no one has to exercise 3 hours a day, but you do need to be physically active. You need to take a walk. You can't get dropped off in front of the store and figure you're done for the day. You know, you hop out three steps. You need more than that. And you need to eat real fruit and real vegetables. You can't exist on chips and deep-fried foods and junk food and soda. I'm 100% opposed to soda. There's no excuse whatsoever for having soda. It's not food. It's not drink. It's not known in the body, not recognized. And it harms people who've had chemo or radiation because you already have weakened bones at that point, and you take soda, which weakens your bones. But overall, I think people are more aware. There's much more recognition of the need to be eating real fruit and vegetables. And, you know, that's another issue. You can't say to someone, do you eat healthy? Because absolutely everyone thinks they eat healthy. Everyone. No matter what they're eating. You know, you have to be very specific. So that's why I stop myself as I start to say you have to eat healthy. I say, no, no, you have to eat fruits and vegetables. Because that is what we need in our body, fruits and vegetables. It doesn't mean you can't have meat, although I happen to be vegan. But you could eat meat. You should eat the free range if possible, but you just need to eat fruits and vegetables along with that. You can't have a giant piece of steak for dinner with potatoes. You have to have fruits and vegetables, salad, you know, real food, and then a small piece of protein. That's really what the right direction for most people. And hopefully, you know, people will begin to recognize that. So for Annie Appleseed Project and myself, and I am the founder and the full-time volunteer, I've always said it's eating more fruits and vegetables, being physically active, learning to relax and enjoy life, doing some detox, because we're surrounded by the really poisonous environment for chemicals and pesticides and all that kind of thing, and also taking some dietary supplements. I mean, everyone should have fish oil. Everyone should have probiotics. Right. Everyone should take curcumin. If you heard Dr. Bharat Agarwal at our conference talking about the value of curcumin, anti-inflammatory, it's critically important. It's safer than aspirin, and, you know, it's a food. It's been in human use for thousands of years. It's the kind of thing that people should incorporate into their lives, whether they're at risk. Well, I can't say that because everyone's at risk for cancer, but, you know, whether they're dealing with cancer now or not. But to reduce risk, everyone could by taking those items. And now we see there's some discussion about coconut oil as being quite critically important. There's lots of wonderful things in nature that we need to be well, and we have to incorporate them into our regular daily habits.
The one thing I would add, Anne, and you have used examples of it, but you didn't name it, and that is be optimistic. I think that the research shows the value of optimism and also the value of faith. I think that is so important in cancer prevention and survival. And again, there's research that shows that people heal better, quicker, and live longer if they, now they use religion. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual and I have faith. Mm-hmm. But their research primarily geared toward religion because that's easier to measure. But mm-hmm. I think that there is something to faith and optimism that cannot be overlooked.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, optimism can be defined in many different ways. I myself don't consider myself spiritual or religious, mm-hmm. mm-hmm. but I also am the most upbeat person in the world. I feel like I drag people up. Mm-hmm. You know, I always find ways to be cheerful about everything. I think, you know, life is always the next good thing that can happen. Mm-hmm. And you can always look at two sides of everything. To me, my glass is always, mm-hmm. you know, three quarters full. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even say half, you know. I always feel like there's more joy. I mean, this morning I looked out the window and I saw four different kinds of spring colors on the trees. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that and I thought that was absolutely great. When I looked down, I saw that the community chose to spray pesticides onto the green lawn. Mm-hmm. And then my heart sank, you know. But yeah. then I thought, okay, but the trees are still here, mm-hmm. the bushes are still here, they're still beautiful colors. Mm-hmm. You know, can't dwell on the negative because what can I do? What I did do was avoid walking on the grass.
Right.
So I don't want any pesticides on my shoes, and they're not going to come into my house. I have to take my shoes off at the door.
Right. Now, Anne, what are the goals or mission then for your corporation?
Well, we are an all-volunteer nonprofit, and our goal is to inform and educate everybody to raise awareness about the five important steps that I pointed out, mm-hmm. Incorporating mm-hmm. into the lifestyle, eating more fruits and vegetables, being physically active, enjoying life, relaxing, detoxing, and taking dietary supplements. We encourage people to find out about treatments that can be integrated into their conventional protocols if that's what they're doing, or we encourage people to find alternative treatments should they need them. Down their journey, or instead, lots of people choose and are not counted by the medical community, choose to use alternatives, like you and I, and mm-hmm. lots of times not being followed by conventional doctors. There's so many possibilities for people, and it's worth a try. I mean, even if I used to say before I knew anything about science and medicine, if it worked for one person, there's no reason why it couldn't work for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I still believe that, but now we know scientifically that's true. We're all a little different, but we're a lot alike.
Right.
There are so many mm-hmm. things that might work. So our job is to let people know what the options are. And we do that by holding our educational meetings, by working on social media, by doing newsletter, which we do monthly, and people can opt in from our website, annieappleseedproject.org. And also we go to educational, scientific, and research meetings around the country and sometimes internationally, and we present the patient perspective. Mm-hmm. We ask questions. We're always asking questions, and I train our advocate volunteers to ask questions just like me. We mm-hmm. ask questions that are penetrating, but we know the answers. Mm-hmm. You know, we mm-hmm. might say something like, does anybody know if it's okay to take antioxidants with the chemotherapy regimen? And, you know, everyone's stunned, like, who talks mm-hmm. about that in a medical meeting? But we do, because mm-hmm. we want the doctors to understand that a lot of their patients are probably secretly doing stuff,
right.
but they're embarrassed or, right. or afraid to mention it. One of the things we suggest to people, if you personally feel uncomfortable talking to your oncologist, A, you probably have the wrong oncologist, but B, you know, you can download something from our website or our Facebook page and introduce it by saying, doc, I found mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Isn't this interesting? And you don't have to make it personal. Mm-hmm. But in the end, people have to recognize that the choices are theirs.
Right.
If they have an oncologist who knows nothing about nutrition, which is the majority, unfortunately, in the oncology community, and they want to change their, you know, eating plan, they have to do it. Take the responsibility, step up. Can't harm yourself by doing something in the food world mm-hmm. or the spice world or the herb world. Those are real things that have been in human use, continuous human use, for hundreds and hundreds or thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
And curcumin, you know, unless you have an allergic reaction to something, it's not going to be harmful.
Right.
You know, and there are people who are allergic to supplements or spices or food, but you learn what it is and you avoid that. But otherwise, the wonderful thing is there's many paths to wellness. And in fact, that's the theme of Annie Appleseed Project's next conference, which will take place March 6th to 8th, 2014. Many paths to wellness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, I hate wheatgrass. Lots of people think wheatgrass,
right.
I think it's a great thing. I just can't take it. So to me, I have to avoid it, and I have to take a different path mm-hmm. for wellness.
My brother was recently diagnosed with lung cancer, and you had mentioned mm-hmm. that, you know, trying to integrate some of the complementary with the traditional or conventional,
yeah.
And he elected radiation. He's 91, and has never been sick in his life, has in fact chopped wood until last summer, and grew his own fruit and vegetables, so they ate very healthy and all. But his doctor wanted radiation, so he went ahead with that. They gave the poor man 5 days a week for 5 weeks radiation. He lost 65 pounds. He couldn't eat. He sits now. He doesn't have any energy. I didn't feel like I could push a lot of things onto him, so I did ask if he would take Laetril, which he did throughout the process. And now I've been talking with his daughter, about building up his immune system and getting his GI tract back in shape with the probiotics and with the things that build up the immune system. But it's a catch-22 because he's lost all this weight, and I know the diet that they're giving him is all wrong because he likes ice cream, and they're giving him ice cream, but he's also a borderline diabetic. And so I raise some of these things with his daughter, but I don't feel like I can intervene too much with the relationship. I can only tell her and then let her work it through. And so it's difficult sometimes if it's a family member.
And well, that's so true. I'm so sorry to hear that your brother is suffering this. But it's certainly true that we can't make our loved ones do what we would wish them to do, and lots of caregivers suffer from that. They want to guide people to the choices they would make. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for me, I didn't do radiation for breast cancer. I would never do it for lung cancer. Mm-hmm. That's me personally. But doing radiation, I would take curcumin, I would have acupuncture, I would take fish oil, and I would always take probiotics. In any case, every healthy person, every unhealthy person should be taking probiotics. We are totally assaulted by the bad bacteria in the world and the potentially genetically modified foods and all the other problems we have.
Right.
And probiotics are critical. But for your brother, he could regain some strength and energy, but certainly he's been battered down. And it's astounding to me that his doctor would even offer radiation.
I know.
At his age and everything, is kind of crazy.
Right.
However, you know, they're cookie cutter. I don't care what they say about personalized medicine. Most doctors do not know the first thing about personalized.
No.
And that's how I felt about the doctors I was talking to. I felt like they didn't understand me. I had chemical sensitivity to the point where I could not tolerate any kind of smells or scents, wet paint or carpeting or printed material, and they're telling me chemo will be fine. No worry. Don't worry about it. You know, that's kind of crazy. So, and same for what happened to your brother, and I'm sorry. And hopefully he will do some of the things that you think are helpful for him.
Right.
Now, maybe a green drink.
Right. You mentioned you are vegan. So can you tell us a bit about your diet and how long you've been on this?
Yeah. I didn't start out here, of course. I stopped eating meat in my 20s, and I stopped smoking. At the same time, I had smoked for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started exercising. And I wanted to be healthier because I was worried about heart disease. It's very rampant in my family. The guy I was dating at the time, his father had died at 40-something, early 40s, and his both uncles. So we were concerned about heart disease, and we thought stopping smoking, stopping eating meat. But I traveled for business, and I didn't really get to be eating healthy fruits and vegetables. I'd go out to on a business trip and go with the gang to Wendy's, and I wouldn't have the hamburger, but I'd have the bun, which is white bread, secret sauce, lettuce, tomato, cheese probably, and french fries, or baked potato maybe I had, but it wasn't really quality food, and I wasn't really getting a lot of nutrients, and eventually I recognized that I was not being helpful to myself. Plus, I suffered all of my life from constipation issues, and nothing changed. So I really wasn't living a healthy enough lifestyle. I mean, I was somebody who was probably having chips without recognizing that was deep fried food. A lot of people don't realize it because chips are so ubiquitous.
Oh.
They're handed out everywhere, you know, casually at lunch, even at conferences. Of course, Annie Appleby Project Conference serves only organic food, and we don't serve chips.
And
or
very good food.
Thank you. Yeah, we try. But so I moved toward more organic, and over time especially, of course, after my diagnosis, I began to eat almost only organic. I was bringing my own food anywhere that I went, and I went on the Gerson therapy program, so I juiced every day.
Mm-hmm.
I brought my own food absolutely everywhere, friends, places, and restaurants, anywhere else, and I was eating organic. Eventually, I moved from cooked food to mostly raw food. So I was mostly having giant salads and giant bowls of fruit, stuff like that. And just tweaked over the years to the point where now I eat mostly uncooked food, all organic. And very, very occasionally, because I travel, I can sometimes not manage three organic meals a day in my travels. Mm-hmm. So I prefer Indian food because of the spices. I feel like they're healthier. And, of course, I love Indian food, so I prefer, putting it mildly. But I try to, when I travel, I bring organic nuts, organic dried fruit, organic apples, organic carrots, which travel well. I bring them with me. And when I get to a city, I try to go to a health food store or a farmer's market, and I can buy some local and organic produce. Every hotel will offer a refrigerator, especially if you tell them you're a cancer patient, you can get it for free, although most of them are free. And I stack my refrigerator with food that will be helpful for me. I usually have hummus and, you know, organic wraps, things like that. And I buy salad, and I mix that together, and I have that for, you know, lunch or dinner so that my breakfast will be organic nuts and organic dried fruit, fresh fruit for lunch or a fresh salad, and then for dinner something simple. Mm-hmm. At home, I usually have a big breakfast and lots of healthy, I have a green drink in the morning. I have two or three kinds of fruit. I have a whole grain manna bread, no sugar, no salt, no yeast. Mm-hmm. I've actually been on a yeast avoid diet for 25 years.
Oh.
And then I have a sort of medium-sized lunch of big salad, but all salad. And then for dinner, I might have fruit and nuts. Usually, you know, I favor the idea of big breakfast, medium lunch, small dinner. I occasionally have organic chocolate. I try to have it with unsweetened whenever possible. And I use cocoa nibs in my cereal in the morning. And currently the cereal I'm using is from a company called Go Raw, and it's sprouted buckwheat groats and sprouted flax seeds. I'd sprinkle coconut oil in there and flaxseed oil. I have fish oil in a capsule in the morning with my green drink. I make a fresh squeezed juice in the morning, and I give my husband a lot of the same thing that I have. Although he's on his own, he does eat chicken and he does eat turkey. And occasionally I have fish if I know for sure that it's wild fish, and I don't always like it because I am so used to not eating flesh of any kind, so it's a little tricky. And but, you know, I call myself vegan with mercy because the thing is, it's my rules. So if I choose to make an exception, it's my rules. But what I say to people about exceptions are, you can have an exception when it's exceptional, but if you're doing it on a daily basis, it's not an exception. It's the new plan, and it may not be the right plan. So, you know, if you have a chocolate chip cookie every day, hey, something's a little off track there, you know, and you have to rethink it. But it's your own rules, and you can't follow programs that you won't. You know, you can't choose a program that you don't want to follow because that won't work for you. In fact, people, when people call me, a lot of what I say is really based on common sense. You know, people might say to me, well, I'm supposed to take this four times a day, but I really can't manage that. I say, okay, take it three times a day. You know, people are like, oh, okay, that's so nice. You know, because really common sense says you shouldn't give it totally up. You should just adapt it to what the way you can work it. It's not as though we know exactly what every person needs. We don't. So we're guessing anyway. So if you're doing a program that you can't follow because it's too many times a day, cut it back a little. You know, work it for yourself.
Definitely. Now, Anne, you mentioned your internet site. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how long it takes to keep that up? Because I know that you keep it up with all the current knowledge and all. How long it took to get this set up initially? It must have been hours and hours of work.
Well, you know, it went up in June of 1999 with the first 65 pages or so that we had from the summaries of meetings that I was conducting in New York City. I kept summaries. But then over time, I began adding to it pretty much weekly, maybe even daily, for a lot of the time. I had less work to do with the organization. You know, it was more like letting people know about what us and what we had. And so it just added to it for years and years and years. But then I got to a point where I thought, you know, if something was studied in 2000 and now it's studied again in 2006, but the exact same kind of study with the exact same outcome, do I really need to put it in there again? And I kind of slacked for a while because I was annoyed that we never got past a certain type of study. For example, there's very little funding for natural things because no one can patent it. When a company can't patent it, they're not interested. So pharmaceutical avoids it. Small companies can't afford studies. They cost a lot of money. And so researchers were doing these small things with what they call in vitro cell culture or animals. And it was kind of the same thing over and over. So I wouldn't post it after a while, and I would, now that I have Facebook, I post on Facebook a kind of a rant. You know, I'll put up a study that's similar to something we had 10 years ago, and I'll put the link to the old study, and I'll say, you know, what's new? We're looking at green tea in mice. Come on, you know, it's a food. I think we can safely study it in people. But no one funds those studies, so it doesn't come up. So I post things if they're really, really different. I'll put them on the website. But a lot of the website is links to services, links to organizations, links to something unusual, posts of something unusual. On Facebook, because I can do it every day very, very easily, there's no, you know, it's not the same as the website, which is a little more complicated to post to. I do it very easily, and I put up articles of interest. And then in our newsletter that comes out every month, we just had one last week, I try to put up longer versions of the articles and more surrounding supporting evidence. Like this past newsletter was about detox. And then I put a PDF of it onto our website so people can catch up to all of the newsletters that we've had. And all of them have somewhat of a theme. Each of them has somewhat of a theme that I try to follow throughout the newsletter. And, you know, it's my pleasure to do it. I mean, this is my full-time volunteer effort to help people. I have lots of ideas and lots of knowledge, and I want to share it. And I try to do that whenever I can. So when I go to the website to put up information, I want it to be something different.
Right.
And there's not so much different. So nowadays, we announce conferences for other organizations that sound really interesting. I put that on the website. And I try to make it, you know, important stuff when it goes to the website. But it has so much. And a lot of it, most of it is still accurate. Now, I can't, last year, the website was restyled. And it looks really cool. But the old website is still there, and it's called the Archive. It's on the bottom right of every page of access to the archive. But I can't change the past. So if I go back and I find that something's really different in a study, like the study I mentioned about lymph nodes, you know, that was really new news that micrometastases were not affecting survival. That has to go on the website. But otherwise, most of the time, it's just more information that eating real fruit and vegetables are good for you, that eating organic is healthy. You know, it's stuff we've already covered. So it doesn't need an update. But again, you know, I put it into the newsletter if it's it's more meaningful. And that's the way we communicate. And then also, because we have, you know, the website's AnnieAppleseedProject.org. And when we hold our meetings, our conferences, then we hear speakers from all over the world. And it's actually videotaped. So we have DVDs and we have CDs from the meeting so that people can follow what we heard. And then other people, and myself included, write newsletter articles and blogs and review what we heard. So people can access that information by either getting the DVDs or reading the newsletter or reading someone else's newsletter who covered it. There's lots of access to the new information. If there is new information, mostly it's more of what we had. And it's a bit of a frustration, but, you know, funding mostly comes from big pharma, and they fund so many things, but they're always pharmaceuticals. They're not natural. And, you know, I've had many, many conversations with people in the pharmaceutical industry in which I've said, hey, wouldn't it be great if you funded a study where people take your drug and they have one more fruit and one more vegetable a day. They deep breathe before they start your program, seven deep breaths. They take a walk around the hospital. Then they go into treatment. And they don't care. You know, the pharmaceutical industry says, you know, and we can't patent that, meaning end of conversation. And unfortunately, they do control the conversation. But people like you and I and our organization, our work, we can step outside and we can say, wait, that's crap. You know, it has to be about us, the people. And so we, you know, we spread the word. And that's why it's good when people find our website, because they find out there are things to do. And there are. I mean, we, you and I, we're survivors. There's plenty of people like us willing and happy to share the story of their survivorship. And almost all of it involves eating fruits and vegetables, being a little bit physically active, learning to detox, learning to relax and enjoy life, the optimism you mentioned, detox, taking dietary supplements. Those things make the basis of your health. Then you can seek a treatment that might be specific for you. I mean, I've taken, well, maybe eight different alternative treatments over the years. And as I mentioned early on, it was Chinese herbs from a Chinese herbalist that actually made the difference for me and stopped my having ongoing cancer recurrences for 5 years. I never got more cancer, and I've been cancer-free since 2001 from the Chinese herbs. I don't have to take them anymore. They did their work.
Now, can you tell us a bit about the volunteers? How many you have? How you got them?
People, you know, people step up. And so all over the country and sometimes internationally, we have people who are interested in the work and they email. or call. And what we do is ask them to distribute our postcards, mm-hmm. which have the health message that I've been speaking mm-hmm. of, the five-point message, mm-hmm. to, and they mention our conferences, to their communities so that people find out, well, yeah, there's a place to get information about complementary and alternative cancer therapies. Here it is online, AnnieAppleseedProject.org. If you have questions, you can call. You know, we're willing to talk to people. We answer email. And so our volunteers are all over the country. They're people who try to come to our meetings or help us host a meeting in their own city, mm-hmm. or people who are active running a group in their own community, and they hand out our literature. Mm-hmm. We also have, speaking of handouts, we have this thing we call handout to for strategies to reduce toxicities. And we give people a simple list of things they can do to reduce the toxicities of chemotherapy mm-hmm. and or mm-hmm. radiation treatment. And those are things we've devised from reading studies. They're evidence-based. They should be in common use by right. everybody, mm-hmm. but people have to find out about them. So mm-hmm. our volunteers hand that out, too. It's downloadable from the website as well.
Mm-hmm.
Our volunteers are people who care. You know, they're people who've had cancer or family members had cancer, and they want to give back. So we ask them to distribute our material, mention our website, tell people about where they can find what they need.
Mm-hmm. Great. Now, Anne, is there anything else you would like to say about Annie Appleseed Corporation or your...
Well, it's Annie Appleseed Project. We're a nonprofit. The key thing for us is don't do conventional treatment without complementary medicine. And if you're seeking alternatives, there are many, many, many choices. Find organizations like ours. We're the what I consider the premier resource with our mm-hmm. 8,000 pages and been around since 99. Mm-hmm. But there's local help too. And I think it's important to find a practitioner you're comfortable with, somebody who really makes you feel right, whether they're in the conventional world or the complementary and alternative world called CAM, C-A-M. Mm-hmm. Find somebody you can work with and, you know, follow the protocol. Commit yourself because this is your new normal. Mm-hmm. It has to go on forever.
Right, right.
You can't have 2 weeks of eating healthy and figure it's done. It's not done. This is your new life, and it's okay. It's good to go into the health direction. And people understand that once they start doing it, you know, I hear all sorts of testimonies. People say, I have mm-hmm. so much more energy, and I feel this, and I feel that. It's all good, and it's the direction people should go in. And AnnieAppleseedProject.org, we're here.
Great.
We'll answer questions. We'll help people. We don't give advice. We give information.
Mm-hmm.
We help people to make more informed decisions.
Great. Well, this is great, Anne. I appreciate it very much, and I know it's going to be helpful to a lot of people that haven't found you yet, and I hope that it will bring more people to you. I have about 90,000 people a month come to my website, and
great.
They're from all over the world, and a lot of people out of the country seem almost more interested in alternative than people in the United States, because I get a lot of people coming from Russia, from Turkey, from China, from other countries. And my show, as you know, is primarily, well, it's all on natural ways to deal with health problems. And so I've had series on diabetes, on cancer, on arthritis, etc. So there seems to be a lot of interest in that from other countries.
I think it's wonderful. We hear a lot from people in other countries, too, but mm-hmm. also in the U.S. And, you know, I have to say that we accept donations of any amount to keep our work going, to help us get to meetings and to run our conferences. We don't get support from the government, and very few organizations, foundation-type stuff fund us. Most companies are afraid to come near us because they figure pharmaceutical will ban them. You know, it's kind of pathetic, the system. So we get by on the barest minimum of money. I don't take a salary. I'm a full-time volunteer, mm-hmm. and so is everybody else. But anyone who wants to help us, hey, it's welcome. Our next conference is March 6th to 8th, 2014, in West Palm Beach, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open to everybody.
People who want to donate, then it would be through the AnnieAppleseed.org.
AnnieAppleseedProject.org. Front page has a donation button on the upper right, and you just click on that. It tells you how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I thank you again, Anne. This has been very interesting, and I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
Great. Thank you. Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the Spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary in her name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums, and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my website, beatlungcancer.net, where you will find all of the information on my latest book, You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative Integrative Interventions. I also invite you to my website, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all of the past shows archived that you can listen to at your leisure. You will also find the latest research on cancer. Feel free to sign up for the free monthly newsletter or to have the shows sent to you if you like. I also point out some ebooks and some CDs that are available under the store tab. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.